We were dealing with something really powerful about how prosperity and favors been revealed or being revealed due to being joined. And the joining we found out, we know, is the first level of peace, being joined unto the Father. It is the first level of peace. It is the first definition of peace. And we saw that by that, by being joined, how it would release a former and latter wealth. The former or the latter would be the joining itself unto the Father, the first shalom. And then the second shalom is prosperity and favor. And it really, really made sense. And really, God really made it really, he magnified it himself on Sunday, that it is just absolutely the truth, that being joined unto him would create wealth in our lives. I mean, real wealth. It really will. And tonight I'm excited to share with you what we've already gone over about Ruth's peace was not without judgment. And a very important scripture we learned on Sunday, which we'll go over real quick, in Proverbs 13 and 23. It says, much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. And so we learned that without judging and without having a discernment, that the food or the increase that belongs to us, that's in our tillage, which means our fallow ground or the place of our fresh furrow where we would actually glean from, or where we'd see the harvest come through, is being destroyed because we sit oftentimes in want, or we sit without judgment. And the word judgment is talking about we're not understanding our privileges and we're not understanding our rights as being in this covenant of peace. So when we're not exercising rights or privilege, we now are watching our food or our sustenance, our wealth is being destroyed. And the Lord was waking us up, shaking us on Sunday. I felt it strongly for us to really get into a position or into a mindset or a consistent mindset because of peace. And now, come on, in that peace, to have the right judgment concerning your rights and privileges, concerning the fact that you are lawful, you are worthy, all right? And so God was really dealing with that. He showed us even our wealthy place is in the place of being justified. And that is the place where we would prosper. Amen. And what points to us being justified is this propitiation, the expiating force of Jesus that wipes away our guilt and our shame. It wipes away the power of sin. It expiates. And that is really a tell sign for us to understand that we're in the place of right and privilege.
Yes.
So Amen. We've got in a place where we're judging ourselves correctly.
Yes.
And then when we do, the Bible declares that Jesus said, he that eateth me would live by me. We would live through his means. And what are his means? The earth is his and the fullness thereof. Healing is his. Peace is his. Perfect love is his. We would live by all that he has, and he has everything that the Father has. So today, tonight, we want to look at Ruth, because Ruth, she was not without judgment. Ruth had an understanding when she made her allegiance to Naomi. She had an understanding, and we get to skip around. I don't have to read it all, but we'll get into it. She had an understanding of what kind of favor belonged to her. Mm-hmm. But when it really kicked in, I saw something. It was as though Ruth was dreaming. She really, even though she knew she deserved it and knew that God would be there for her, when it really kicked in, it was as though she was dreaming. And that's how it's going to be for us as the favor and prosperity increases on our lives. I'm telling you, it's going to be as though we were also dreaming. So we pick up in Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And it says here, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone. This is when Naomi and her daughter-in-laws, after her sons had passed, and now they're about to split, and Naomi's about to go back into Israel. She's about to head out of the land of Moab. And so this is the split here. And Naomi picks up and says, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and this is the big one here, and thy God, my God. Ruth stayed joined, not just to Naomi, but she stayed joined unto God, the God of Israel.
Amen.
God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She stayed joined to the big G, not the little G where her sister-in-law went back to. She stayed with the big G, the real, the only wise God. She stayed with Jehovah. And she stayed joined there. So this was after, obviously, the death of Naomi's sons. And so Ruth makes this declaration that your God is going to be my God. I'm not leaving. Only in death will I leave you. And so when she made that oath to Naomi, she made that oath, the same oath unto God. And so thereby she stayed joined. And now we're going to look at something as Ruth's prosperity begins here. It begins because she's joined unto God, unto the God of Naomi. But being joined to the God of Naomi, you got to understand, Ruth had all of the stories of the past about what this God has done. She's had all of the testimonies of what this God has done. Absolutely had them all. And so in Ruth chapter 2, we pick up at verse number 1. We watch her prosperity begin, but her prosperity begins because she was not in want of judgment. She had a discernment of what this God of Abraham was able to do, because she was joined to him. Here we go. It says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace, I shall find favor. Someone there, Ruth was saying, is going to favor me. Someone there, she said, someone there's going, I'm going to find favor in somebody's. And the reason why she felt this way, she wasn't in despair, because she was joined. She wasn't in doubt. She wasn't in a place of fear. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. So now Ruth was not, verses 1, it is worth 1 through 12, but we stop at verse 2. Ruth wasn't without judgment. She knew that favor, which is in the definition of prosperity, she knew it was coming. She was confident that God would take care and bless her and Naomi. This is the place that we've got to arrive and we've got to remain. Yes. Verse 3 tells us, it goes on to say, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was at the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, stay with me, guys, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face. This is where it was though she was dreaming. Then she fell on her face. She knew favor was coming, but when it came in this magnitude, it was unbelievable. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thy eyes? Watch this, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. And Boaz answered and said, I love this. Oh God, hallelujah. And said unto her, it hath fully been shewed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. But this is the kicker, why she's been found grace, why she's got favor. The Lord recompensed thy work.
Yes.
Boaz disconnects himself from it all.
Yep.
The Lord is recompensing your work, and of a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Under, watch this, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Under whose wings. And when I read this before, and it still blesses me now, it reminds me of the covenant we have with him, that under his wings, or connected to his wings, are we joined to him. This is where Ruth was. She stayed joined unto the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And because of this, Boaz pronounces the grace that, not that he had for her, but that the Lord had for her. Because she was joined. Ooh, glory be to God.
Bless you.
So we see this come to pass here. And we watch a progression as this continues. All right, we watch a tremendous progression. Let me just read some of the note. He plainly tells her, the Lord God of Israel is blessing you and recompensing you because you're under his wings, trusting in him. As I stated, it reminds me of our position with God the Father. His wings are overlapping our wings when we are in the place of Christ expiating for us. When propitiation is our vision and we know nothing but peace. What we mustn't fail to remember is Ruth was a Gentile. She was not an Israelite. The Lord was prophesying to us through her prosperity for her being joined. He was showing forth Isaiah 54, the covenant of his peace that would come to a people who were not a people. That's us. Now look at this here. Ruth's prosperity increases. This becomes very intriguing. I mean, even more now than from the first time I spoke it and taught it. In Ruth chapter 2, her prosperity increases now. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men. Remember, when she first gleaned, she stayed behind them. Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them. Watch this, guys. This is new store coming in. And rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until the evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, Mom, I remember I had taught before it meant 9 imperial gallons. And you went and looked and said an imperial gallon, actually, Apostle, is bigger than a regular gallon. And right, you absolutely were. So I went in there. I said, there's got to be something prophetic here. Why would it say in the Hebrew that an ephah is 9 imperial gallons? There's something in these numbers. So I went in and I started to study out more. Just for this particular, for this balance. I studied out some more, and an imperial gallon contains 160 fluid ounces.
Mm-hmm.
A regular gallon contains 120 fluid ounces. Watch this now, guys. So there's 160 there, and 160 ounces of 9. All right. It actually translates, the numbers come out to this. She gleaned 12 regular gallons. of barley. Not though it says 9 imperial, but then the 9 imperial equal 12 regular gallons.
Okay, amen.
What's significant of this? Mm. Well, the number 12 is God's, which we know, divine government.
Yes.
Watch what the Lord said to me here. This is why he sent me in to look at it again. The kingdom, look at this. The kingdom took over providing for Ruth. The kingdom, it's God, number 12 is God's divine government.
Oh, bless God.
The kingdom is established. His kingdom.
Mm.
So now the kingdom began to provide for Ruth here. And the kingdom is saying after she was done gleaning, after Boaz blew her mind and had men drop handfuls, the number in total, come on, really, is 12 gallons? God was letting her know, kingdom is here, Ruth, providing for you. You're joined to me, so now you're joined to my commonwealth. It's my kingdom that's blessing you. She was now walking and living in the commonwealth of heaven. Listen to what the Lord said to me. Listen up, everyone. Sometimes things may get hard, and they may seem like everything is going south, like they did seem for Ruth. But stay joined, my God. Stay joined. Don't let your circumstance detach you from his peace, no matter what is going on. Stay joined. Keep eating the bread fragments of heaven. Don't you stop. Why? Because you're going to see kingdom begin to provide for your circumstances.
Hallelujah, God.
You're going to watch the kingdom of God come over, take over, and take over where you can no longer produce or where you can no longer get yourself in the forward momentum that you desire to be in. Kingdom is on the way.
Yes, God.
Don't eat the leaven of your problem, God said. Eat the unleavened bread of Christ our Lord. His kingdom is about to show up and show you its wealth and riches.
Amen, Lord.
It seemed like all was lost for Ruth. Everything looked like it was lost for Naomi. But Ruth, man, stayed joined. She said, no. Where you go, I'm going to go. Your people will be my people. And more and most importantly, your God will be my God. She stayed joined at a time where it looked like they were literally going to starve to death. She stayed joined. I don't care what you're going through. You stay joined. Don't you eat that leaven of the enemy. Don't you eat the leaven of your circumstance. Don't you let your problem detach you from the place of his peace.
Bless God. Amen. Amen.
Kingdom is about to show up. And God, let it be known loudly. Your 9 imperial gallons are 12 gallons. My kingdom, my divine government has taken over here. You're being provided for. Yes, it seems like Boaz. Boaz himself said, it ain't me. It's the God of Israel that's doing this for you. And he's recompensing you a full reward. Hallelujah.
Bless God. Amen, Lord.
So it's very important to also know and to note that Ruth and Boaz and Ruth are very much a type and shadow of Christ Jesus and the church. This whole parallel here that we're reading is a prophecy unto us and how it will be when we're joined.
Amen.
So Boaz being Jesus and Ruth obviously being the church, Boaz commands Ruth. He commands Ruth's increase to come forth to the point that other gleaners having to drop handfuls, which to me, it really, really is a type and shadow also of the wealth of the sinner being laid up for the just. They're just going to drop it. It's just going to drop. It's going to end up in our tillage. God is going to do it. You're not going to have to do anything. God is going to do this. So the Lord does make rich and add no sorrow. So now Boaz redeems Ruth. And then the prosperity of Ruth actually now becomes generational. And I taught this before, and I think it's really important to understand the depths in which God's prosperity through the covenant of peace wants to go. It's not just trying to situate you, but it wants to situate your children and your children's children.
Oh, bless God.
It wants to reach way beyond you. You got to remember that Jesus came out of the lineage of Ruth. Jesus himself. Now imagine that. You know Solomon came out from this lineage. David. All those big hitters. All those wealthy boys. And then the King of Kings comes out of the lineage of Ruth, the Moabitess. You kidding me? Yeah, if you read your Bible, you'll see they all came out of her lineage. All these big hitters. She set it up for generational wealth until it got to the wealthiest man of all, Jesus the Lord. For the earth is his and the fullness thereof, and the worlds that they that dwell in. God has made a loud statement for this Moabitess that said, your God will be my God. And set her up for generational wealth. And I'll read this out in the Amplified Version, chapter 4, verses 4 through 15. I just want you to listen. You ain't don't have to do anything but lay your ear out. And I'm reading it from there, and it picks up from when Boaz is taking over Naomi's field. This is Naomi's inheritance. It belongs to her, but a woman back then was not allowed to have it, but her sons died, so it was left out there to the next of kin. And the next of kin would have to make a decision to buy it from her. But watch how Boaz handles this. It says here, and I pick up in the story, it says, so I thought to let you hear of it, saying, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, then tell me, so that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it. And I am, this is Boaz speaking, and I am the next of kin after you. And so there was somebody else that was closer to Naomi than Boaz. Boaz was second in line. Mm-hmm. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, watch how wise God makes Boaz. So then Boaz says, the day that you buy the field from Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, to restore the name of the deceased to his inheritance, meaning her son. The closest relative, redeemer, said, I cannot redeem it for myself, because by marrying a Moabitess, I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption, purchase yourself. Take my right of redemption, purchase yourself, because I cannot redeem it. Now, formerly in Israel, this was the custom concerning redeeming and exchanging property. To confirm a transaction, a man pulled off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the way of confirming and attesting in Israel. So when the closest relative redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, he pulled off his sandal and gave it to Boaz to confirm the agreement. Then Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought everything that was Elimelech's and everything that was Chilion's and Mahalon's from the hand of Naomi. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahalon, to be my wife, to restore the name of the deceased to his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the gate of his birthplace. You are witnesses today. All the people at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the household of Israel. May you achieve wealth and power and and become famous in Bethlehem. Further, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you by this woman. They're all prophesying this great wealth unto him. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went in unto her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer, grandson, as heir today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you one who restores life and sustains your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons. has given birth to him. What am I saying there? Boaz redeemed Ruth through, though he wasn't next of kin to Naomi. He was the second next of kin. The kinsmen would have redeemed the land and bought it from Naomi, but Ruth came with the deal. So he was afraid that he might ruin his own inheritance by marrying outside of Israel. Watch this. So this opened the door for Boaz to redeem Ruth. People of God, it's just like Jesus, our Lord. It's just like what he did. He too married outside of Israel. He came and redeemed us and has forever grafted us into his wealth and prosperity, just like Boaz did, creating a generational wealth that would be there for every one of her children and her children's children. It would go on and on and on. The Lord has come and redeemed us. He has come and redeemed a people that were not a people. It's the same exact parallel, and it created generational wealth. Well, I'm telling you, if we too stay connected and stay joined in this thing, we will see wealth built generationally.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It went on and on and on and on and on. And the Lord has done the same unto us. This is a parallel. It's a type and shadow of what's taken place with us. We need, my God, let the peace of God, listen, let the peace of God become your benchmark. Let it become your beacon that lights and reveals your prosperity. And let's, man, leave generational wealth unto our children's children.
Amen. Amen, God.
This all took place because Ruth was not in want of judgment. She knew favor would be waiting for her. What she didn't know was the dimension of favor that was coming. But could she stay joined to the God of Israel? She stayed joined to him. It opened the door for her wealthy place. It cured Naomi's problems. And it left generational wealth for her children's children. All the way, actually, believe it or not, to the church now. Ruth is benchmarked forever. I'm telling you, she's forever going to be a beacon. Her story will forever be a beacon of how God's prosperity plan truly works.
Amen.
By staying joined, people of God. We're called to stay joined. And we're called to discern. Let the peace of God be your benchmark. Let it become your beacon that lights and reveals your prosperity. Let it become just that, that as you're recognizing his peace, you must too lift those hands and give thanksgiving unto God for prosperity that also has come within the peace of God. And my God, stop being without judgment concerning this. Proverbs 13:22, and I close here. It says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And as we've already been discussing, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. But come on. There's a dimension of wealth that's way beyond us, that wants to transcend way beyond us. It wants to reach our children's children. And it's all about being joined unto God through this wonderful covenant of peace that Jesus has afforded us to walk into by the shedding of his blood. So come on now. Come on. There's way more than meets the eye here. There's way more at stake than just us having easier lives. There's so much more. There's so much more to be had. And so there's so much more that we need to be doing, and that's by discerning. I know where I'm standing. I know where I am. I'm not going to eat the leaven of my circumstance. I'm going to stand up like Ruth. I'm going to say, let me go glean. Let me go ahead and get some of these fragments.
Amen.
Let me eat some of these fragments. Let me go ahead in. Surely I will find favor. Oh, Jesus, surely I will find it. Favor will come. Surely the kingdom will show up on my behalf. Hallelujah.
Bless God.
Well, that's all I got for you tonight in tonight's balance. That's all I got for you. But if any comments, I have, I think, a few more minutes. There's still four more minutes here on the clock. If there's anyone that wants to make a comment, or if they got an ooh or an ah, if a fragment drop that you want to start in on, you can go ahead and share it. Amen. Amen. Well, take a page out of Ruth's book, you guys. Take Amen. A page. And don't be without judgment. Don't let the food that's in your tillage already be destroyed. But please have a discerning eye. And please discern when you are in the place of joining and in the place of his peace. Open your mouth and give him glory and praise for the favor and prosperity. Oh, and when the test of your circumstance rises, please don't eat the leaven that comes out of it. Don't you sit there and be mindful of the cares and the worries of your problems. Don't do it. Why? Because, man, you'll be in want of judgment, and the food that's already there, the provisions that are already there, they'll get destroyed. God has already provided. It's already in the unleavened bread, in which he keeps releasing by way of this rhema word.
Amen.
Believe me, I had choices to make. I could have ate the leaven all day today. I could have ate it all day. But I chose to eat the unleavened and continue to eat the unleavened fragments of my Lord Jesus. And I kept eating, and he kept me way above and beyond my enemy's grasp and reach.
Thank you, Lord.
I too, just like Ruth, me too, I am waiting for the commonwealth of God's kingdom to reveal its wealth and riches to me.
Bless God.
But I will not sit here in want of judgment.
Thank you,
Lord. Not when this rhema has given me proper judgment to say hallelujah, Jesus, because your prosperity's here.
Hallelujah.
My tranquility of mind is revealing your wealth and riches, prosperity that belong to me. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm not asking you for relief and aid. I'm giving you thanksgiving because I'm in relief and aid. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm not asking you for favor. I'm giving you thanksgiving for the favor that I'm already in.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
And I can't wait to see how your kingdom reveals prosperity.
Amen.
Yes, God. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen, everybody. Amen. Amen. Right at our 7:40 mark. Expanded dominion to let him that hath, let more be given. But gather on top of that, gather the fragments that remain tonight. Gather your oohs and ahs that nothing be lost.
Amen.
Amen.
And keep feasting. Kurt said it to me the other day. He said, they ate until they were filled. I said, you said that right, Kurt. They ate until they were filled. They weren't content. They were filled. Mom, you've been saying it. More than that which is necessary. That's the overflow. Amen, everybody. That's
Amen. Our.
I love you guys. We'll be on for part four tomorrow. In the balance, in the mini balance, and we're moving right along. There's only about 5 or 6 segments prior to getting back into where we are. So this is God balancing us to getting us back to understanding fragments. All this is a buildup. All this is connected. And so I will listen out for you guys tomorrow. You be blessed of the Lord and be blessed. And take the time to meditate when we hang up this line. Take a few moments, meditate on the fragments that he's just given you, and then glorify him for the prosperity and favor. Don't go without judgment. And I'll hear from you guys tomorrow. God bless you, and I love you all.
God bless you. God bless.
Love you, God.
Love you, too.
God.